Psalm 61. And I woke up with this message on my heart and on my mind, and I have preached it here before. I don't remember what service, whether it's a Sunday or Wednesday or what, but I just woke up with something on my heart. I'm glad that the Lord can use a message over and over again. Sometimes we, as pastors and preachers, we put some undue stress on us, and some people that are well-intentioned put it on there too, and they'll say things like, "Ah, so and so didn't study because he's preaching a message again." Well, it makes me wonder about the same songs that we sing over and over again that bless our hearts. Amen. It's amazing how the Lord can bless us again and again every Sunday with a message from a song. But if the preacher preaches the same message again, then he ain't studied and he's sorry. Y'all okay? No. I thank the Lord that He allows us to have these things and gives us a message. And I want to preach to you this morning because I look around and I myself am too. I want to tell you how that this past week has gone, and if I can give you a little bit of backstory and inspiration. So when you go, as your pastor, when you go through the trials of life and when you go through the fires of life and the waters overflow you, you may think that you're alone in that, but if you have a pastor, at least a pastor that's worth his salt, he's walking with you. Because that's what the Lord does for us. He walks with us through. And so being an under-shepherd, you walk through with families. And so we've had a lot of first around here this morning, but a lot of first over the last week. I think about Miss Katie led the princess party, or not just the princess party. And leading up to that, she was nervous and was worried and concerned about how it would go. And of course, it went wonderfully. And we knew the Lord would bless it, but as she walked through that, I walked through that with her. And in the midst of that, a family has a loved one pass away. And so while you're walking through that, you walk through them with them through that as well. And in the midst of that, you have another family that loses a loved one. And you walk with them through that. And you have conversations and you talk and you do your best to minister, even though you don't know what they're going through and you don't understand fully what they're dealing with. You just give them the Word of God and pray with them and just be there. Did you know that when people are going through a tough time, you don't have to say anything, you just need to be there? They don't need your input, they just need to know that you're there. And so I studied and prayed about continuing in the book of John and John chapter 12. And the more I prayed about it, the more I felt like that was a big no for this morning. So I want to preach to you on this thought this morning, overcoming an overwhelmed heart. I believe I'm looking at a room full of people that have an overwhelmed heart. You got a lot of worries. And there are things that I have no clue about that you're facing, that you're going through. But then there's a lot of things that I do know that you're dealing with, and I do see what you're going through, and I have talked with you. And I know that as you have this overwhelmed heart, that it makes it difficult to worship, and it makes it difficult to come to church. I think it's more difficult to wake up on a Sunday morning and come to church when your heart is overwhelmed with the cares of life than it is at any other time in your life. You know that you want to worship the Lord. You know that the Lord has been good to you, but your heart is so overwhelmed with the things that are going on in life that you wonder, can I just stay here and be at peace? And then you do get to church. And it is my goal that when you come into church, that this is more of a hospital for your hurting heart, and a place where you can find solace and peace and rest and get a message from God, from the Bible, This is why it's dangerous for preachers to preach opinions. You don't need my opinion, you need the Word of God. You get opinions all week long. We get bombarded by opinions on social media, on the news channels, on the radio stations. We're bombarded with people's opinions about various issues all over the world. Things that we can't control, and these things overwhelm our heart too. But God gave us a recipe in Psalm 61 of how that we can overcome our overwhelmed heart. Them girls sung about it just a moment ago. He's all I need. When trials come, He's all I need when there's nowhere to turn. When I fought the battle, He fought the battle, the victory's been won. He's all I need. What a wonderful truth that is. Let's look in Psalm 61. David here is calling out to the Lord. Now, some of you recognize verse number 2 in just a moment. Even if you're not a Bible reader, you may recognize this verse. In verse 1 it says, "Hear my cry, O God, attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For thou hast been a shelter for me and a strong tower from the enemy. I will abide in thy tabernacle forever. I will trust in the covert of thy wings, Selah. For thou, O God, hast heard my vows. Thou hast given me the heritage of those that fear thy name. Thou wilt prolong the king's life and his years as many generations, and truth which may preserve him. So will I sing praise unto thy name forever, that I may daily perform my vows." Heavenly Father, please bless the reading of your word. Please use this morning to help someone. God, give grace. Minister to these hurting hearts that I know that are in the crowd and online. God, help them in only the way that your word can. Give me liberty. Give me the ability to preach your word, not my opinion, Lord, but what you say. God, help me. God, give us wisdom. In Jesus' name I pray and ask these things. Amen. Psalm 61 is at a time of David's life. This is the same King David that you've heard about. This is the same David that wrote this psalm that that fought David and Goliath, the battle of David and Goliath. Those of you that may know that story but not readily versed in the Word of God, this is the same David here. After David's battle with Goliath, see, so much more happened in King David's life after the battle with Goliath there in the Valley of Elah. Much, much more happened in his life. And it got to a point where we don't have time to preach the whole life of David this morning, but it got to a point where David had a son named Absalom. And Absalom had turned against his father. His own child had turned against him and was trying to overthrow him as the king. But Absalom made a tactical mistake, if you will. And David's friend, his number one captain, a man named Joab, the same guy when David sent to have Uriah killed in the hottest part of the battle, was the only guy that knew about that going on until God revealed it to Nathan. There's a lot in the life of David. But Joab ended up killing this son of David, Absalom. And so if you can imagine the emotional taxation, if I could say it that way, that's going on in David's life as he's writing this psalm. His son has turned against him, and one of his best friends has, in effect, murdered his son. A son that he loved, a son that the Bible says this particular son was a handsome young man and had a lot of potential and probably could have been a good king and probably could have had a great following and seen a lot happen in his life. Absalom would have been good at being the king, but now he is dead and there is no hope for him. So David's life went from a shepherd boy to a giant slayer to standing in the king's court, the king of when Saul was the king, to running from that king, to assuming the throne. See, David was appointed to take the throne earlier in life, but it wasn't until later in life that David was anointed to sit on the throne. You may be appointed for something and just not yet anointed. Amen? And so he went from all those things to conquering kingdoms, and then that same king that done all these things, that lived that good life, that God said he was a man after his own heart, that same guy, David, committed a great sin. And then he had to live with the consequences of that sin. But through all of his life, David had the hand of God on him all the times when David's heart was overwhelmed. So how did David process all of this? How did he deal with his overwhelmed heart? Well, I believe Psalm 61 tells us a little bit about that. And so I want to look at the first thing here in verses 1 and 2. First thing I'd like to give to you is that David retreated to the Lord in prayer. In Psalm 61, 1 and 2, he says, "Hear my cry, O God, and attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I." I thank God that we have the ability to pray. David prayed some things here to the Lord. He said, first off, "Lord, hear me." He said, "Hear my cry, O God, and attend unto my prayer." Have you ever prayed and you didn't know if God was hearing you? You ever had a time of prayer where you weren't sure whether or not God was listening? Or maybe you thought that God didn't even care? I assure you that He does. And I am confident in saying that the Lord will not only hear our prayer, but He will attend, as David said. That means that He will listen. He will intently listen to what we pray. See, praying is not about the feeling and having a warm and fuzzy feeling when we pray that everything's going to be all right. Praying is about putting our faith in God enough to bring our petitions to Him. And say, "Lord, I can't fix this problem. Lord, I can't handle this deal. Lord, I can't deal with this any longer. I've got to lay it at your feet. I've got to bring it to you. You have got to do something in the midst of my trouble." And that's what David is doing. He's saying, "Lord, hear me." But he's also crying out to the Lord for help. He says, "Lord, help me. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee when my heart is overwhelmed." David's heart was overwhelmed. How many of you know what the word overwhelmed means? I like to look up words that I may not be completely sure. Here's the definition. Overwhelmed means completely overcome or overpowered by thoughts or feelings. David's son has just died. Murdered by his best friend. Absolutely, his thoughts are occupied with Absalom and Joab and the kingdom. Absolutely, his thoughts are preoccupied and probably wakes up every morning and the first thing he thinks of is Absalom. He lays down his head at night and the last thing that he thinks about is Joab and how he's not sure if he should exact revenge or if he should just accept what has happened and continue on being a friend. His heart is overwhelmed. His mind is overwhelmed. He is completely consumed with the thoughts of what's going on in his life. And so he says, "Lord, I'm at the end. I'm going to cry unto you because my heart is overwhelmed." But he also cried out for the Lord to hide him. He told him to lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Matthew 11, 28, friend of mine, I want to say this, Jesus is the rock. I realize this is the book of Psalms and Christ has not come on the scene in chronological order yet, but the rock here is talking about Christ. Lead me to this rock that is higher than I. Matthew 11, 28, Jesus made this invitation. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Jeremiah 33:3, the Lord said, call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. When your heart is where David's heart was, you can retreat to the Lord in prayer, and he will change your life. Will you have enough faith to pray? I mean, it's amazing to me that when we get in the midst of troubles, we develop an uncanny amount of faith, don't we? But when times are good, our faith seems to dwindle. When we don't think that we need the Lord, there's not a doubt in my mind that David saw good times, but David also saw tough times. And either way, he prayed. He got a hold of God. He talked to the Lord about what he was going through. And God took control. And God delivered him. And God brought him through those difficult times in his life. I mentioned a little while ago David's sin. Do you know what that sin was? It was adultery. If there's anything that I have seen rip families to shreds, it is adultery. I'm talking about it will pick a family apart. Y'all hear me on this. This adultery will rip a family into shreds and will leave it in shambles when adultery occurs. And it's so heartbreaking, but even in the midst of that heartbreak that David experienced and that David participated in, even in the midst of that sin, you read Psalm 51, you will find out where David cried out to the Lord in the middle of his hurt. It hurts the adulterer too. Not only does it hurt those who are affected by adultery, but it hurts the adulterer too. See, we forget about them. Okay? We don't like to extend grace and mercy to people that have done something wrong, but they need it too. And here's the Lord in Psalm 51 extending grace and extending mercy and giving love and giving compassion. And David is crying out to the Lord, and the Lord brings him through that sin that he got himself into. He dealt with the consequences of it for the rest of his life, true. But God brought him through those things. David retreated in prayer. There's another thing here in overcoming your overwhelmed heart that you can do that David did too. David remembered God's protection. David remembered God's protection. Psalm 61 verses 3 and 4 says, "For thou hast been a shelter for me, a strong tower from the enemy. I will abide in thy tabernacles forever. I will trust in the covert of thy wings, Selah." Now I got to take verse number 4 and use that little part there. I will trust in the covert of thy wings. Now Miss Tara, she's got some chickens. And this year we've had chickens since 2020. So we've had them. We've got some experience with chickens. We're not the super chicken people. She's a super chicken lady. I'm not. But this year, a unique thing happened. We got one of our hens got broody. Y'all know what that means? That means they want to sit on the eggs. And they will peck you if you try and take an egg away from them. Because they want to raise some babies. And so that hen got broody, and we lost track of how many eggs were under her. And so we ended up just letting her hatch some babies out. Now, unfortunately, not all of them hatched, but we did get about 5. And also, only about 3 of them have survived and made it through, and they're growing and they're flourishing, and thank God for that. But I noticed something that happened right after them little chicks had hatched. Nobody had to tell them chicks to get up under mama hen's wings. And I mean, them other hens, they'll come up in there to lay, and that one little hen, she, you better get back. Don't you get over, y'all laugh at me, but that's the noise that thing was making. You better get away from these babies of mine there. And them chicks, they would be running around inside the coop, and we'd put them food and water in there. And one of them other hens would come in, and all them little chicks, there was 5 of them at first, and all 5 of them little chicks would just shoot up under mama. And you couldn't even, if you got to pick her up, you had to be careful when you picked her up, because the chicks would be in her wings. And so if you press too hard, and she's liable to go to flapping her wings, them little babies fall out and scatter and run over it. So you had to be real careful. But they understood, them dumb little chicks understood that there was protection, there was security, there was warmth, there was help, there was hope, there was survival, there was necessities were met, all in the covert of mama's wings. Them other hens had come in, and now today them little hens, you know what they do? Or them little chicks, they jump up on mama's back and they just sit there. They understand the value of the security that's found there. That's what David is referencing here when he says, I'm going to get up under the covert of thy wings. I'm going to go get in that secure place. I'm going to remember how that there's protection there for what you've done for me in the past. It's a blessing remembering where God has answered one prayer before. It will encourage us to persevere into praying about other things. When we go to remembering the things that God has done for us, He's been that covert in our time of need. He's been that place of shelter. He's been that place of warmth before in my life. So now when this real trouble comes and this more trouble comes, I'm going to run back to Him. David remembered the protection. Deuteronomy 32:7 says, remember the days of old. Consider the years of many generations. Ask thy father, and he will show thee, thy elders, and they will tell thee. He said, go back and ask all the people. Now, here's what's amazing about old David that a lot of people don't really think about. Y'all ever, we're about to come to it, the book of Ruth in our Bible reading. Y'all ever read the book of Ruth? There's a little lady in there. Her name is Ruth. Shocker, I know. And Ruth meets a man named Boaz. And Boaz, see, back in that day, the way that you proclaimed love is you plucked off your shoe. I've been kicking my shoes off for 24 years, and she ain't never took it as a sign of love. He decided that he would love her. Boaz would love Ruth. And they had children together. And there's a good story there. You read the book of Ruth, it's good too. But they had children together, Boaz and Ruth did. And one of their grandchildren was a man named Jesse. And Jesse had a son named, yep, you guessed it, David. Ruth and Boaz is David's great-grandparents. Consider the years of many generations. Ask thy father. I wonder if David ever got to meet Boaz. Or if David ever got to meet Ruth. And he asked, hey, great-grandma, how'd you meet? Well, you see, honey, me and my mother-in-law, we was hungry. And she told me to go into this field and to glean after the reapers. That means to go pick up stuff that people have dropped. And old great-granddaddy, he saw me out there and saw, whew, she sure is pretty. I tell you what, do boys, let a little extra fall when she's out there. And she gleaned and brought home more than enough so that her mother-in-law was astounded by what had happened. And I could hear her telling old David, I brought that bag home and Naomi was happy, and I knew then that Boaz was mine. The Lord brought them together. Read the book of Ruth. It's incredible. The Lord brought them together, and out of their line was this David that I'm preaching about to you this morning. Psalms 20 and verse number 7 says, some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. Psalm 77, verse number 11 says, I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember thy wonders of old. Psalm 78 and verse number 35 says, they remembered that God was their rock and the high God their Redeemer. You may be facing an overwhelmed heart this morning, but I would like to encourage you to remember all the other times that God's delivered you. Go back in your mind where God has been good, where He brought you past that car accident you were supposed to have, where He brought you through the heart attack, where He delivered you from all the trouble that came your way. Or how about the things that you didn't even know were on your path, and He never let it come to you? This is the God that we serve. David remembered. He remembered God's protection. David rejoiced by faith. Psalm 61, 5 and 7 says, For thou, O God, hast heard my vows. Thou hast given me the heritage for those that fear thy name. Thou wilt prolong the king's life and his years as many generations. He shall abide before God forever. O prepare mercy and truth which may preserve him. Hebrews 11, let me read this to you. The first six verses of that chapter of the Bible says, Now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You want to please God in your life? Have faith in him. God didn't ask you to do any great works. He didn't give his toughest battle to his strongest soldier. Let's knock that out of the park. He don't expect you to be strong. You won't find it. You'll find it where he told Joshua, the leader of the Israelites, to be strong and courageous. That's not a promise to you. That's him instructing Joshua. Hey, you're about to lead 3 million people. Be strong. I'll be with you. He didn't say that to you. What did he say to you and I? He told us that his grace is sufficient and his strength is made perfect in our weakness. And so when we're weak and we just simply have faith in him, then God brings us through those things. That way God gets glory and not you and I. If we want to please God, we must have faith in Him. And He'll reward you when you diligently seek Him. I got one more. David resorted to praise. Your heart overwhelmed? Have you praised the Lord in the midst of it? Preacher, I'm dealing with a hard thing. Preacher, here's my thing, and maybe you don't deal with this, but when I go to someone and I talk to them about it, I say, I'm struggling. Maybe you don't, but I ride the struggle bus a lot of days. See, these battles that I'm preaching to you about, if there's one finger pointing out, there's three more pointing back. What's good for me to hear is good for you to hear as well. And so I need to remember that in the midst of my struggles that I should praise the Lord. Having a bad day at work? Things don't go well? You got two options. Get mad, throw everything down, cuss everybody out, leave and go home. We laugh about it, but there's a lot of Christians that do that. Blow your testimony out because you have a bad day because somebody didn't do their TPS report or whatever it is. Somebody didn't fill out their paperwork, and so that just made you have to go back and redo all the stuff that you got to do. So now you got to do extra work, and you get bent out of shape, and instead of just saying, well, Lord, thank you, maybe I made a mistake and I need to just do this again, we say, I'm going to give them a piece of my mind. I heard a good saying one time. It said, when you're tempted to give somebody a piece of your mind, just give them a piece of your heart instead. Psalms 7 and verse number 17 says, I will praise the Lord according to His righteousness. I will sing praise to the name of the Lord Most High. And then Psalm 100, 1 through 5 said, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Preacher, I can't sing. I don't know if I need to praise the Lord the way some of these others do. Well, you ain't got to sing. You just make a joyful noise. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. When are you in the presence of the Lord? Every waking hour of your life. Besides that, you're not singing for anybody else. You're singing for God's glory. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that has made us and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving, into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. For the Lord is good, and His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations. Your heart may be overwhelmed this morning, but you can resort to praise. You can rejoice by faith. You can remember God's protection. And you can retreat to the Lord in prayer. He will help you. When your heart is overwhelmed, He is the rock that is higher than you. Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, You know what we stand in need of. You know what our people stand in need of. And we pray, Lord, that You would help, that You would move, that You would work, that You would strengthen. And I pray that we would run to You. No doubt, Lord, there are many in this room that their hearts are just overwhelmed for whatever reason. They've got more than they can handle, more than they can stand, more than they can carry. Lord God, help. You're a very present help in our time of need. Lord, draw us closer to You. Strengthen our feeble knees. Uphold us by Your right hand. Give grace and mercy, Lord. We need You. In Jesus' name.